Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Till. Travis Ryer, joined by my co-host Evan Ryer. We talk Jacksonville Jaguars right here on the channel. Evan, so how about the 2025 draft? What are your thoughts?
Travis Hunter, get on the train. you got to look forward because looking backwards doesn't look really great right now. Past 10 weeks, 11 weeks has been brutal, but at the same time, you know, what can you do? You know, I mean, it is what it is at this point. And, I'm enjoying, thinking about the NFL draft. I've been watching a bunch of college football this year. So
that's the great thing. You and I watch a ton of college football. So there's always that light at the end of the tunnel for us during a season like this. We're kind of watching games and going, hey, maybe that's the guy or two that can help turn this thing around in Jacksonville. Or maybe that light of the tunnel is just another train coming.
Yeah.
Evan, in the form of maybe the best team in the NFL this week up on tap for the Jaguars, the Detroit Lions up in the Motor City. Ev?
Yeah, not just the Detroit Lions, but a road trip to face the Lions too. And kind of, you know, what's funny, you know, for teams that are really good like that, the teams that, you know, scrape away these W's after such a emotional kind of comeback win over the Texans last weekend, this is kind of maybe they're recovering, you know, maybe they're, you know, a little out of gas or whatever. Well, when you're playing a team of the Jaguars quality, it doesn't really matter if you're out of gas. You're probably just, you know, it's almost like a bye week of sorts. I hate to be that disrespectful, but with the state that the Jaguars are in, and, you know, especially, I don't know, we love Mac Jones to death, but that wasn't the most encouraging performance last week.
That was rough.
Last weekend, you know, there's not a whole lot of hope in terms of going up there, but hey, you know, Jarian Jones is going to get some good reps. Jared Goff threw 5 picks last weekend, so maybe this is...
That's even more concerning, though, because he threw 5 picks, and they still won in Houston.
And the Jaguars intercepted.
That's how good they are.
Yeah, and the Jaguars got 3 interceptions last Sunday and couldn't get
and
the
lost.
Win. So.
Now, gave up 3 turnovers there in the final moments, but kind of evened things out. But, yeah, you know, that game last Sunday at Everbank kind of felt like a night out with the bros where you start fast, you know, and everybody's and then you go hard early, and then by about 11 everybody's kind of looking at each other like, well, that may have run out of gas a little early, because there was a lot of palpable energy, good energy in that stadium after the Jags went down. Mac looked good early, the offense looked good, go up 7-0, the defense is getting off the field, forcing turnovers, and you're thinking, hey, maybe this thing's going to end up being a 17-14, 17-13. Even at 7-0, I wasn't thinking, oh, wow, this is the coming out party for the Jaguars offense, because still this offense isn't really built that way, and you still have some absences on that side of the ball that just aren't going to allow you to do that. But, man, those final 3 quarters – all the energy that came up to the surface there in the first half or 2/3 of that first quarter just got sucked out of that stadium. Even though the Jags were still ahead into the fourth quarter, it just had that inevitability sense to it, that it wasn't a question of if, it was just more of a question of when the Vikings would eventually take control or win that football game.
It continues to be, I've said this in recent weeks, but the Jaguars seem to get everybody on like a bad week. I mean, you know, maybe the Jaguars are better than I'm giving them credit for. You know, they lose all these close games, but like, it seems like every team we've played that is pretty good, like the Vikings, they don't show up like at their best. But
that
the
was
Jaguars
the Sam Darnold from the Jets. I mean, they got New York Jets Sam Darnold, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's all you're asking for in terms of having a chance to win. If you can get that kind of situation where, you know, the Vikings, you know, I mentioned how much I like Aaron Jones last week. You know, he still had like 80-something yards or whatever, but overall, really solid play from the defense. I mean, probably maybe their best performance of the year. You know, if we're going to give credit, you know, anywhere, I do think the defense overall was about as good as we've seen them. But like you said, something just after that opening script, the Jaguars had no idea what to do with Mac Jones. And, you know, I mean, part of it is Mac Jones definitely missed some throws, definitely, you know, has played better in his NFL career. But yeah, I, in general, there was just complete, you know, kind of breakdown because the running game wasn't going either.
No, that was not going. You had a couple of decent runs by ETN in the game, I guess, but certainly nothing overly explosive, and just the lack of explosive plays in general on offense. And kind of going back to what you talked about with Mac Jones, I still really haven't figured out if that was mostly due to Mac and his inabilities, or was it part of the plan that, look, if we get up early, we're going to try to keep this thing tight, keep it really sort of training wheeled through the game and give ourselves a chance in the fourth quarter. Now, defensively, I agree. I can't really pick too much at that side of the ball other than to say, yes, that there were the takeaways, and points are what matter. You know, you give up 12 points in the National Football League, you should win the game. But the sustained drives by Minnesota took a lot of clock off the game. That said, the takeaways gave you extra possessions on the offensive side, which the Jags took zero advantage of. Three takeaways, 0 points off takeaways. Typically, when there's that sort of equation there, it doesn't work out all that well.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I mean, really, the Jaguars have struggled to score off the few turnovers they had produced to this point all season. And, you know, it's just – it's another thing where you're just kind of letting – you know, you're snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. You know, it's – they were given a game to win here. And it feels like that's happening.
It's like Philadelphia. I mean, it was almost like the previous week. And we can talk about Mac, but Trevor was in that same situation down five. And what happened? Threw the pick.
Nothing.
Yeah. Just like Mac down the street.
I will say, I do. I was singing throughout, you know, especially towards the end of the game when Mac, you know, made a couple pretty significant mistakes. Sure, that I was singing, you know, how much better would Trevor have been in that situation? I do think the Jaguars probably score more points if Trevor's the quarterback. I wasn't one of those people. There were people online that were saying, like, all right, do y'all understand that Trevor is actually, like, because of that game in particular, that,
well, relative Trevor to the Jaguars, but I don't I'm not basing my Trevor comps on the Jaguars or the Jaguars backup quarterback. I base my Trevor comps on the top quarterbacks in the league.
Exactly.
Because that's what he is supposed to be at this point in his development and based on his new contract.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going that far at all. But I was seeing that, but I mean, don't get it twisted. If you want a reminder sometimes that it can always be worse, there's definitely worse quarterbacks to have than Trevor.
Oh yeah.
And who knows? I'm not condemning Mac for the rest of the season or whatever, because Mac is more than likely going to be the quarterback the rest of the year.
It's feeling that way
at this stage. I mean, you know, with the AC joint that Trevor's dealing with, you know, it sounds like it's more significant than they initially thought. He's going to have to get surgery more than likely. You know, I said this last week, shut him down. Like, let's just, let's not worry about making things worse. There's nothing to play for at this point. But yeah, it was definitely a situation where, I don't know, it's hard to get on Mac too much because first start of the year, first real game time of the year. But at the same time, definitely a performance to forget. So,
and at least they scored in the first couple of quarters of the football game.
They scored the only touchdown of the damn game.
Yeah, in the first quarter. No, I mean, Mac, again, he has his inadequacies, we'll call it. And maybe that's why we didn't see Brian Thomas Jr. or the ball really being pushed down the field all that much. I think part of it, too, is I don't think Press and or Doug thought they could protect Mac. with the pass rush well enough, with the situations that you have in that offensive line right now. It just felt like, again, the training wheels were really on the offense. Just don't lose the game. And for as long as we can just stay in this thing, you know, we're going to be pretty simple and basic and close to the vest. But boy, when you can't run the football like they can't, or they couldn't on Sunday, then you put even more on that passing game that just isn't there right now. And then, you know, it just seemed appropriate in some ways at the end of the game, the sort of miscommunication between Mac and Gabe. I mean, because Gabe, he hasn't been online all year. So, yeah. And I'm not saying that was his fault. You know, I know there's been this sort of social media breakdown because of Doug's comments post game about the media wouldn't get it. That was so tight, though. I mean, that was tight how he just
browbeat. This man does not want to coach. This man really, really wants to get fired so bad. And that's not that you can disrespect the media all day. We know how this works. That doesn't get you fired, you know, in top level football. But the just clear, like, I could be on a, you know, I could be in my beach house in Miami.
Like a Corona commercial, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He wants to be with Eli sitting on the beach, cracking open a cold one.
Snoop Dogg. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, he's clocked out.
Well, you know, we talk about that, and, you know, it'll be so Jags this week when Matt goes like 23 for 28 for 374 and four touchdowns. It'll just totally flip everything upside down. Wait a minute.
We actually see something to build on.
It'll be the most Jags thing. I don't think that'll happen in all seriousness.
No, the thing they need to build on is the only all-pro performance we saw this past week, which is Logan Cook. Four punts.
My man.
Within the 20. He continues to be the man.
Him and Cam Little. I mean, that's
special teams, man. It continues to be the only like sparkle in this team right
Logan
now.
Logan has been just unbelievable. I saw someone tweet, "It's a crime if this guy isn't in the Pro Bowl." No, it's a crime if he isn't All Pro.
No, he's the best
All Pro, not just Pro Bowl, right? Not just the AFC representative as the punter in the Pro Bowl games or whatever the hell it is now, but All Pro. He's been that good. And you know what else you got coming up this week in Detroit? Jake Bates and Cam Little were teammates at Arkansas once upon a time.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Yes. 2022, Jake Bates had kicked at Texas State, transferred. Jake Bates was actually a soccer player at Central Arkansas, then kicked at Texas State, then went to Arkansas for 2022. Cam Little was a sophomore and had established himself as the place kicker, but Jake Bates was actually the kickoff guy. So how about that for a tandem? You've got Cam Little as your field goal extra point guy and Jake Bates as your kickoff guy. So you're going to have a couple of those.
That is nuts. I got to I said this on Twitter, but I got to give Jake Bates some credit for the style points on both those field goal makes. He cut it so tight on both of those, as dramatic
football,
as you could possibly
football had
make
some,
it.
Football had some yellow paint on it.
Yeah, dude. That first one clipped it for sure. Yeah.
Both sides of the ball had yellow paint on it on those uprights, didn't it?
I know it doesn't matter, but I love watching the Texans lose, so I'm very appreciative for that.
And the Lions tried to do the Jags a solid, you know?
Yeah, they did.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, in another world it would have mattered, but not in the one we are currently in.
Yeah, in the previous world we thought this week would be like 6-4 Jags going up to Detroit.
Prove it. Yeah, prove
maybe
a game,
Super
kind
Bowl
of, how real are you?
Yeah. How about some positives though? And you talked about it with this defense and some guys that, you know, folks have been pretty rough on because they were free agent acquisitions, but Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage, was that the best we've seen them this season against Minnesota last week?
As a total group, absolutely. I mean, really, I would say that other than kind of a pretty anonymous day from the defensive line in terms of pass rush.
I mean,
you know, Trayvon Walker still got there on one. Nice to see that he's continuing that pace. But really, I mean, they hit Darnold three times total, and that's not enough, really. You know, it's one thing.
It seemed like the Vikings had success doing what the Jaguars wanted to do, and that was getting the ball out quick. I mean, they tight end and running back, because Justin Jefferson really wasn't a problem.
He wasn't a huge factor. They shut him down for the most part.
Death by a thousand cuts on those sustained drives, man. And it was also, like we talked about before, it just seems like these opposing offenses are in these manageable situations on second down over and over, second and four, second and five. And then NFL, that's huge, right?
Oh, yeah. Staying, you know, above the chains or whatever, staying, you know, keeping forward, making it manageable. The Vikings, that's what they're all about. At the end of the day, you know, you could say that the Vikings had plenty of frustrations when it comes to, you know, Sam Darnold throwing three picks, all that different stuff. But in general, that is what the Vikings are looking to do to set up Sam Darnold to be able to make those deeper throws and do all that. And while he wasn't successful in that, they were still getting whatever really they needed to be able to just keep drives alive. And that's frustrating to as anything. You know, I feel like overall, though, the Jaguars preventing big shots and different stuff like that, that is the reason why this game was close. Because it's not just Justin Jefferson you have to worry about. Jordan Addison's really been finding it over the course of this year. Both those guys can light you up deep. So to keep them limited is very impressive. I think in total we were looking at like 75 yards between those two guys. You definitely take that every day of the week. And that does bring up, I will say, this is probably the first like Tyson Campbell performance that, you know, it's at the level you were expecting him to perform at. You know, this is probably the best we've seen since early 2023. I was pretty impressed with Tyson overall. You know, I thought Andre Sisco actually had a better game than what we've seen recently. But still just, you know, not ideal. And, you know, it's cool for Buster Brown to get one. You know, he's been having a pretty tough year. So for him to be able to get, you know, an INT is nice as well.
You talked about Aaron Jones last week, too, for the Vikings. I think he averaged about five a clip. So the Vikings ran the ball well enough, especially between the tackles. And, you know, Jags played more zone than I think we've seen in a lot of weeks from a Ryan Nielsen defense, which plays into that bend but don't break and red zone efficiency. Defensively able to take the ball away a couple of times down there. But it also leaves you a little vulnerable to the run game. I think Cam Akers a couple of times helped the Jags because he wouldn't stay between the tackles. Cam kept wanting to bounce it, whereas Aaron was more patient and willing to kind of stay inside and take those 6, 7, 8 yards that's been problematic for this Jaguar defense. But as we talked about, really hard to pick too much at the Jags on that side of the ball, because the NFL is a bottom line game and it all goes back to points, time of possession. Yeah, it was massively in favor of the Vikings, but the offense for the Jags had something to do with that. I mean, when you're not staying on the field offensively, obviously that's going to play in to that situation as well. So when you think about Detroit this weekend, Ev, can you give us any glimmer of hope? To think that this Jaguar team, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility for the game to be competitive, because that hasn't been the problem for the Jags this season.
No, I mean, I think I do think that this game is, again, very similar to some of, you know, the games recently, although there's been different offensive identities. You know, it continues to be force the quarterback to throw the ball. Jared Goff is a very good quarterback, but as we saw last week, very, very capable of mistakes. And he clearly was pressing a lot last week. You know, some of those, like that fourth interception, especially threw it to nobody, just threw it like 60 yards. If you can frustrate that offense in the running game, which is much easier said than done, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, that's about as good as a tandem as you can ask for.
Thunder and lightning.
Yeah. You have to stop them first. And the Jaguars have kind of been able to do that with these really good running games recently, at least preventing them from going, you know, absolutely bonkers. You have to put the game in Jared Goff's hands. And, you know, even with that, you know, you're probably still going to lose. You know, Amon Ross St. Brown, Sam Laporta. I mean, these guys are going to eat.
Jamison Williams.
Jamison Williams. But, you know, I think that's the really the first step to winning that game. And then the second step is I cannot handle Tank Bigsby getting two handoffs. I cannot handle Brian Thomas Jr. getting three targets. If you want to win, if you want to score, you can't just trust Mac Jones to find Gabe Davis or find Brenton Strange consistently. It's got to be put the ball in the hands of your most dynamic weapons and let them try and make a play. Now, like I said, that is on paper, you know, much easier said than done. But for me, you have to put it in your most dynamic player's hands. And that's not Gabe Davis. That is, as much as I like Evan Engram, that's not Evan Engram. You know, Evan Engram should be the guy that, you know, you go to on third and eight and you really need 8 yards across the middle. I get that. But I've got to see more action from BTJ and Tank Bigsby. You know, I know that, you know, they're going to, I guess, exhaust ETN. They're like, look, we're going to see every last bit of what this guy has, an important kind of year. But I was screaming for Bigsby all game and they just would not give him the ball.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if maybe he's beat up a little bit. Maybe they've got him on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But week to week, it's always different. It seems like with running backs in some situations and, you know, this week defensively for the Jags, I think it does start with the Lions run game. You know, you talked about the two backs, the thunder and lightning approach for the Lions, that offensive line, one of the best in the National Football League. And then when you get it into maybe some obvious pass situations, those two tackles, Penei Sewell, boy, that's going to be fun to watch. Trayvon, Josh Hines, Allen working against those guys on the outside. I think this is a continued sort of validation situation, even for some of the Jags star players. And I still think there's some misfits within this scheme and the personnel, like seeing Foye Oluokun play off the ball. I still can't get used to that.
Yeah.
To me, he's a Mike, plain and simple. That's why back in training camp, when there was all this talk about Devin Lloyd going to play Mike, I'm like, that seems reversed. Foye is a Mike. If there ever was one, he's the green dot. But Ventrell Miller continues to do some good things too. So that's positive.
Ventrell had another good game. I mean, him and Jarian Jones right now are kind of the hope, the future of this defense in terms of, you know, do we have any guys that, you know, we could see wear the Jaguars uniform for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Mm-hmm. That's nice, but, you know, it's still going to be a tall order for them. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs gets an open space. I love Ventrell Miller, but I'm going to take Jahmyr Gibbs in that battle most of the time.
Against any of the Jags linebackers, any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Gibbs is a 4-3 guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's electric for sure.
It's insane. I love getting to watch him in that offense. You know, I mean, really – somebody, you know, described it pretty interestingly during that game against the Texans, which the way that Jahmyr Gibbs is able to get to corners, like get on the outside, it looks like he's still at the college level in terms of speed. He makes NFL defenses look slow, and those dudes are not slow at all. So, it's going to be interesting. You know, you think about run game, you know, you wonder if Arik Armstead's going to finally have a game. Which I will say,
we saw it against the Vikings. I mean, he's taking this wide rush from the end position
and he's
that kind of makes it look like he's winning, but the tackle is like, look, dude, if you want
to
go,
all I have to do is shove you around.
Yeah. You're not even at the right depth with your pass rush. So no, that's not going to happen. But you talk about pass rushers, no Aiden Hutchinson this week, but Za'Darius Smith, it looks like, will be ready to go.
He's going
to
open up his Detroit bank account with this game because he did not get to play against the Texans, and he's about to cash out in this one.
Well, let me ask you this. Walker Little at this point with this sort of audition, like for a handful of these guys, we can talk about it from that perspective too. Where are you at with the Walker Little audition to this point in terms of 2025 and beyond at one of those tackle spots? Or do you think at this point, just on what we've seen to this point, knowing things could change, that it's probably going to have to be Anton Harrison going over to the left side next year? If you keep Little, maybe the right side, or maybe you're looking at another tackle in the first 4 or 5 picks of this draft, depending on where the Jags end up in that order.
I think I'd give Little, like, if I had to give him a letter grade, it'd be like a B minus. Okay. So pretty good overall. I mean, really, he's had some stinkers, but he's also had some pretty good performances. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's a guy that you can consider to be a year after year marquee tackle. If Anton Harrison was like showing promise of all pro, then maybe I would be more comfortable rocking Little on that other side. And just mm-hmm. saying, okay, well, you know, you got to have a weak side of the line at some point. But really what I'd like with Little is for him to kind of be the 1A guy going mm-hmm. into the next, going into training camp next year, and then having your second or third round pick be a guy that's, you know, competing with them.
So you're thinking of franchising Walker a Little after this year, maybe extending him or new deal.
Right. I'd be curious. I'd go to the agent and ask, what do you think? Like, what do you want? Because if he wants like, you know, big money, then you have to let him walk. But I mean, really, you know, what does Walker Little deserve a big payday at this point in time?
Not at this point. No,
no.
But there's, you know, it's kind of like quarterbacks in that market. When you start talking about offensive,
there's going to be
tackles.
Another team that will pick him up if the Jaguars aren't willing to pay him. But I don't know. In my ideal situation, we'd have a rookie and Little facing off next training camp for the job, whether that's through the franchise tag or maybe they do like a 2-year deal or something like that, something small. Yeah. Because if you are going to extend him to something and you're not going to pay him a lot of money, it's going to have to be short term or, you know, max 3 years, probably 2 years, because he's young enough that he can still go get a few more contracts, at least 2 more. I like Little. I really do. I do think he's a very serviceable player, but that's kind of the term serviceable is probably the best way to describe it. He's not great. He's not bad. He's just fine.
Yeah. And we still don't know about Javon Foster. I mean, seeing him back in training camp, he was a long way away.
Yeah.
And they kept him because, well, he was a mid-round pick, and you don't expose mid-round tackles to other teams if you release them. I mean, you obviously have a decent investment in him in terms of draft capital. So you want to see if he's the guy that you scouted him to potentially be. So we'll see about him as well. Those are the things we don't see through the course of a season too, that could be happening. I mean, he may not be to the point yet where you feel like he's one of your two guys, but maybe you're thinking he's close. But the reason why I don't believe that as of this point is because I think the third tackle in right now would be Cole Van Lannen.
Yeah.
You know, and not your draft pick from Missouri. So
now I'll be curious if they kick the tires on him at all this season. You know, if at some point, you know, in the last 3 or 4 games, instead of putting in Van Lannen, it's like, all right, well, let's just go see what he's got. Yeah, you know, that's what I think this season is basically about at this point, unfortunately, is you might as well see what you have in the tank as you kind of start to rebuild. And, you know, whether that means you're completely clearing house in terms of staff or if that's just Doug. Either way, you need to see what you got.
Well, and that's the growing anticipation with that upcoming bye week too, is what does that mean? Because around the league, you know, we're already seeing coordinators go, you know, you've had that happen in Chicago. You've had it happen at some other places. You know, I think there's some anticipation there with that bye week as it relates to Doug or the staff. I think it's pretty clear at this point, Doug probably isn't going to make any changes, and I don't know if, you know, above his pay rate that may come down. So that's why a lot of people have that bye week circle too for the Jags in terms of,
well, you know, it's also important that they're playing Detroit this weekend because Shad can meet with Ben Johnson and go ahead and just get the paperwork done for when, you know, this, you know, obviously they won't, you know, be able to grab him mid-season, but they can at least say, okay, Ben,
yeah,
you know, we've got
some, you get it sketched out on a cocktail napkin.
Exactly. You know? I would love Ben Johnson, by the way. I think that would be sick. You know, I think
the Jags buy is next week.
After this,
they play the Texans on December the 1st, just for the sake
The following
clarity.
Yeah,
so after this game on Sunday, you know, I think
finally getting to the bye week, where we can reload, we can recover.
A lot of people are going to be looking at that for sure.
Teams like to fire guys on bye weeks. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they get, especially if they just get torched in Detroit. Like if we're talking like a 20-point loss or something.
Yeah,
I could see it. But at the same time, Doug gets all like everyone in that staff right now kind of gets excuses because of injuries and all that different stuff. So they might just write it out. They might just write it until, you know, the end of the year.
And here's the thing, after the bye week, I mean, they do get the Texans on December 1st, but then they go Titans, Jets, Raiders, Titans. And then Colts on the road. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing, is if they, it's another
that
thing,
five game finish, it was set up, all they had to be was decent, to be was around 500.
You could even be 4-6 right now, and you're looking at that thinking games. Okay, if you're 4-6 and maybe, or you know, let's say 5-6 after the Detroit game, you're looking at that final six game stretch as, okay, we're the masters of our own destiny. We can absolutely win every single one of these games.
And that's why, like, I know the Jags right now, if the NFL draft were today, they would pick first. But that's why I still don't believe, in my head anyway, I don't see it happening because of those last five games or so. I just don't see them being 2-15. Now, maybe they will. I didn't see them being 2-8.
Yeah.
But I see them still winning two or three more games. And if they do, I don't see them picking first in that scenario.
Yeah, me too. I think they probably win two more based on that stretch. I think you'd get at least one against the Tennessee Titans. You might even get two. And then you probably can pick off one of the Jets, Colts, or Raiders games. And if you get four wins, you're not going to have the first overall pick. You'll probably be a top five, maybe.
Yeah.
You might have fifth or sixth or something like that. But they can avoid the dishonor of being the only NFL team. I don't know if you saw this. The Jags do select first overall. They will be the first ever NFL team to select first three times in five seasons. No one's ever had that many first overall picks in 5 years. So, you know, let's avoid that if possible, I guess. I don't know if I care. I'd rather just get
it's
the
just
best
a, it's just a tough look.
Yeah.
When you go out and extend your stars like the Jags did, whether it was Josh Hines Allen or Tyson Campbell, or especially your quarterback that the Jaguars did, and you're in rebuild mode. Now, I don't think it's to that extent. This is just more of a bad season than I still think it is just a deplorable football team in terms of talent, but there's obviously issues that have to be rectified, and I do think it's salvageable even for 2025. I don't see it as like the Panthers or something like that right now, but it is a bad look. I mean, you go out and you take care of your guys, and then the perception is, well, you're back into a rebuild.
The thing is that even though they don't have to do a complete teardown rebuild situation, they still, over these next two drafts, no matter who comes in to coach this team, they have to, if you want to hit the next level in the NFL right now, you have to draft out of your mind. You cannot, free agency veteran signings and stuff, those are not what takes a team to the
and they're still not, as an organization, an attractive situation for a lot of the free agents
that's part of it too. It's like nobody wants to come here.
You've got street free agents right now that probably aren't signing with the Jags, even though they don't have jobs, because maybe they think they can sign with a playoff contender during the season. Because then if they're with a playoff contender who makes the playoffs, then they get playoff bonus money too. You're yeah. not getting that in Jacksonville. So it's tough every day for the Jags right now in terms of personnel acquisition, in terms of the guys they really would like to have.
You know, to kind of, you know, add to my point about that, like, so the Lions, obviously, you know, Jared Goff was he's coming from the Rams, but Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta,
Brian Branch,
Penny Sewell.
Brian Branch is an all-pro DB in the second
Brian
round.
Brian Branch, Darian Arnold. Yeah. All these dudes that are stars on that team were drafted guys. And developed.
Yeah.
So if the Jags like can't find that, I'm sorry. I like Christian Kirk, but even when we signed him, it was like, okay, well, is this guy?
They paid a tax because they had to sign Christian Kirk. They had to overpay.
And I get it. And I don't care about overpaying for good players. Really. I really don't. It's just
they promised Eric Armstead 10 years into his career, he'd play end.
In the modern NFL, you cannot go grab veterans and put together a suit. You need veteran experience. Those need to be a factor of the team. But every top-level team in the NFL right now drafted like half of their starting lineup, if not more, are draft guys.
What did the Dolphins pay Calais Campbell for this year versus what the Jags spent on Eric Armstead? And Calais is balling.
Dude, it was so much fun watching him this past Sunday.
He's
that
just
was balling.
Awesome.
Dude, it's really cool. It's insane to be 38 years old and just balling like that.
Yeah. Well, he knows who he is. That he knows what his position is, and he just plays the hell out of it. You know,
Calais Campbell is making $2 million this year. By the way.
Yeah. Do the math.
$2 million.
Yeah. And we're gonna get
Eric
out of here.
Making 10 times
yeah.
as much. Or
yeah, I'm about to get the bleach out. So we're gonna get on out of here, I think. But
no, yeah, it's getting depressing. We're gonna
keep doing this. We're gonna keep pushing through, gang. We're here
for
you.
It's like man versus food when that dude would be like on like pound four of the greasiest burger you've ever seen.
And now
seen.
He's gotta eat the 3 pounds of fries after eating.
Yeah,
the
we're not even
burger.
Yeah, we haven't even hit the fries yet.
No, we're not even to the front.
And they didn't put down any ketchup.
The milkshake
for us,
so. You got to finish off too in the challenge.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh, Ev, it was fun anyway, my man.
Yeah,
always great
having
catching
a good
up.
Time.
Yeah, you know, commiserate. This is called commiserating.
Absolutely.
So for Evan, I'm Travis. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, we hope you'll do that even after what you just heard for the last 38, 39 minutes. It's therapeutic for us anyway.
Yeah,
hey, we got hours, so it's all good. So for Ev, I'm Travis. Thanks for tuning in to No Sleep Till. Until next week. So long, everybody.
Peace.